Today is the 26th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and it is great to be here with you today. Another day around the global campfire, another step forward as we continue this journey through the scriptures and our journey through the season of summer, at least here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. I realize that some of you are experiencing the season of winter, which is cool too. We move through the seasons, regardless of what season we're in, we move through them together. So let's keep moving. Our next step forward leads us back into the book of 2 Chronicles. And today we will read chapters 17 and 18. Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah to teach in the towns of Judah. With them were certain Levites: Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asael, Shemiramot, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob Adonijah, and the priests Elishama and Jehoram. They taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts and store cities in Judah and had large supplies in the towns of Judah. He also kept experienced fighting men in Jerusalem. Their enrollment by families was as follows: from Judah, commanders of units of 1,000. Adna, the commander, with 300,000 fighting men. Next, Jehohanan, the commander, with 280,000. Next, Amasiah, son of Zichri, who volunteered himself for the service of the Lord, with 200,000. From Benjamin, Eliada, a valiant soldier with 200,000 men armed with bows and shields. Next, Jehozabad, with 180,000 men armed for battle. These were the men who served the king, besides those he stationed in the fortified cities throughout Judah. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Some years later, he went down to see Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him, and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war." But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First, seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I not?" "Go," they answered, "for God will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, There is still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." "The king should not say such a thing," Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once." Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says. With these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. "Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious," they said, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the other prophets without exception are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says." When he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I not?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for they will be given into your hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?" Micaiah continued, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you?" he asked. Micaiah replied, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room." The king of Israel then ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'This is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely.'" Micaiah declared, "If you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added, "Mark my words, all you people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, "Do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel." When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, "This is the king of Israel." So they turned to attack him, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him. For when the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, they stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the breastplate and the scale armor, The king told the chariot driver, "Wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded." All day long the battle raged, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Arameans until evening. Then at sunset, he died. Romans 9:25-10:13. As he says in Hosea, "I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one." And in the very place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," there they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality." It is just as Isaiah said previously, "Unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah." What then shall we say? That the Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel, who pursued the law as the way of righteousness, have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law: "The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?'" That is, to bring Christ down. Or, "Who will descend into the deep?" That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is, the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, "Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Psalm 20. For the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. Proverbs 20, 2 and 3. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. All right, so as we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Romans, a letter written in a Hebrew context to a Hebrew audience, we've seen that Paul's being very careful. He's being very forthright and very direct in what he's saying, but he's being very careful about what he's saying. And we can see that he's not attempting, as he has been accused of trying to basically throw Judaism, his religion, under the bus in favor of a new religion based upon Jesus Christ. Rather, he's meticulously trying to explain that it's the same story, that Jesus is a continuation of the same story that came through the children of Abraham, so that this chosen people would be, they were chosen for a reason, to reveal God to everyone in the world. And from Paul's own mouth, from his own testimony, we know that he was a well-educated, deeply devoted Pharisee, like trying to live into this, completely devoting himself to God and to obey and adhere to the Mosaic law so that he could become righteous before God, only to discover what everyone discovered. Becoming perfect on your own, like with no missteps at all, is an impossibility. Obeying these commands with no slip-ups perfectly for all time so that one could declare themselves righteous before God is an impossibility. And so Paul says in his letter, and I quote, "The people of Israel, who pursued the law as the way of righteousness, have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone." Right? That's a way of saying they lost the plot. The law was supposed to be a continual reminder of what God had brought them out of and to lead them into complete dependence on God, because the law reveals our sin, our inability to be righteous on our own. Instead, it had become a source of power to control. Paul says, "I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is now based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." So for Paul, Jesus reveals what it looks like, what a person who is righteous, what that looks like. And Jesus didn't achieve this through adherence to a law. In fact, Jesus was getting in trouble for that all the time, especially over the Sabbath day. Jesus modeled utter dependence, true intimacy with God, and complete obedience, complete faith in God. So for Paul, it's faith and not works. It's a gift, not something that can be earned. And trying to earn it is a feeble attempt at the impossible. Nobody can obey the law perfectly. But for Paul, that's the point. The law was to lead us to the end of our own attempts to be righteous and make us face the fact that it cannot happen in our own strength. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And so that leaves us only one thing, a leap of faith, trusting that God is merciful, believing in the one that he sent to restore us. So we can look at all this, and if we're like, you know, theology buffs, then we like to get into the nuances of all this. We could also read this and go, it's just so tedious and so technical that I don't really understand the implications. Well, here's a practical implication. If we have lived our lives under a dark cloud, believing fully in God's utter displeasure in us and with us and our actions and words and thoughts, and we think somehow in the back of our mind, we think subtly, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until that mighty hammer falls on me. Then take heart, because that's not what's happening. According to Paul, the faith that we put, the belief in Jesus, this is the bridge. And when we cross that bridge and believe, it's done. We have been made perfect in the sight of God. And so the baggage and wounds from our upbringing, they can't stop that. Our ethnicity can't stop that. Our sin can't stop that. Because, as Paul said, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is invited. Let me just read this out of the Bible and put it back in Paul's words. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never crossed that bridge of faith, then this is your time. Like, this is the moment. Believe, because it's the truth. God loves you. God is for you. It's time to come home. And if you are a believer who just walks under the cloud of God's displeasure, then this is your time. Walk in freedom. That's not true. It's not a reality. God loves you. God is for you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Father, that is such good news. We thank you for this good news. We believe in it. And it shifts things inside of us every time we focus upon it. It's transformational. You love us so much that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. You are within us. When we think about these spiritual realities and then we look at the way that we're navigating our lives as if we don't even know what's going on, it's almost comical. The God of the universe is here with us, and we are so often unaware of it, or so often believing something different than that. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love for us. Come, Holy Spirit, and continue to transform us, that we may continue to collaborate with you in the work of redeeming this world and revealing you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will give you that and a lot more, and you can download it free from the app store that works with your device. So check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected on social media. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources for this journey through the Bible in a year to take it deeper and wider. Check out the resources that are there, including this brand new t-shirt that we just released for Daily Audio Bible Kids with Ezekiel on the front. You can find that in the lifestyle section. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, humbly. Thank you for your partnership. We couldn't be here if we weren't here together, and so thank you as we move through these summer months for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. It's Lisa calling from the East Coast. I also go by Philippians 4:6 on the prayer wall. I just wanted to thank you all so much for all your prayers. I just feel so special and loved, and just knowing that this community is keeping me in your prayers and hasn't forgotten about me, it just means so much. My cancer journey has been pretty tough. I've had another kind of tough month. I have more fluid in my lungs, and so there's now more of a danger of me, my lungs collapsing potentially, so I really appreciate your prayers over that. So far, I feel like I've defied the odds, and I've been okay. And I also really appreciate your prayers over a bucket list trip. I feel like God has always just given me a spirit of adventure, and I have so much joy in travel. And so it's been really hard to, you know, not be able to go a lot of new places. And so I'm just praying that this trip is possible, and that God protects me before the trip, that it's very clear that my health is good. And I'm pretty optimistic. So I could just use your prayers about just clarity from God, and also just God providing for the type of adventure he knows I need. And then finally, my family has been really just toxic and hurtful recently, and just not respecting my boundaries. And so if you could also just continue to pray that I just get a sense of relief from that. I just feel like the enemy has been using my family to really hurt me, and I don't have a lot of energy, so having to use that on drama instead of focusing on healing is just a lot. Anyways, thank you so much. I love you all, and I've been praying for all of you as well.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. I want to post a prayer for Derek. Derek called and asked for prayer for him. He said that his wife had left him and filed for divorce. Derek, I just want you to know that you're not alone. God is with you. God knows where she is and what she's doing. But during this time period, focus on Derek. Focus on Christ. And do all that you can to grow closer to him. Because the closer you get to him, the closer you get to healing, the closer you get to peace. pray for her, but chase God. Fill your life and your heart with His Word, because there's healing in there. There's wisdom and understanding, and there's strength, and there's life. A part of you has died. Replace it with the life of Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for loving us and understanding us and being with us. I ask that you be with Derek to give him the strength that he needs, give him the courage that he needs to go forward. Lord, I ask that you would fill his life and his heart and his mind with your word and your presence. Let him know that he's not alone. He's not by himself, that you're with him always, and you will never leave him. Wrap your arms around him and give him comfort. And wherever his wife is, bring her back. Fight their battle against the enemy and give them unity and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.
I recently learned the lesson of the bamboo tree and all the parallel analogies between that tree and me. That tree can grow so tall so fast that it mystifies the mind, 90 feet or more in the first 5 years, much faster than most trees you'll find. But for the first 4.5 years, you'll only see a sprout. Just a tiny shoot above the ground is all that'll be sticking out. But in the last 6 months of the 5th year, it grows 90 feet or more. Only the most loyal, faithful cultivators would stick it out to see what's in store. But God is like that in our lives. He's faithful and he's true. And even when we show little or no growth, he still gives grace and mercy too. Most would say, just let it die. It looks like it's dead already. But he never loses hope for us. His hands are true and steady. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. God changes not. His compassions, they fail not. And as he has been, he forever will be. And when all our worldly hope is gone and no more friends are left around, that little sprout that we had left for dead becomes a tree high above the ground, with roots so deep that the fiercest of storms could never erode its grip. They bend, they sway, some branches may break, but mostly the tree will just dip. While we see nothing above the ground, there's continual growth below. Only God can make a tree, and there's a lot of things we just don't know. But I also know that sometimes it looks like there's little or no growth in me. So I'm thankful for his loving hands. And I'm sure in time all will see that growth was present all the time. And God was present too, carefully nurturing day by day so my roots would hold fast too. Don't be so quick to judge that shoot that's barely sticking out of the ground. God has the power to make it as strong as any tree.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida. And I want to wage war on the enemy right now, because almost every call that I am hearing has to do with a marriage being disintegrated in some particular fashion. Dear Jesus, I cry out to you right now, O Lord of hosts, the one who fights our battles on our behalf, Lord God, the one who is the redeemer and the restorer of all things, Jesus. I cry out to you for all of the marriages in our community, O Lord God, for every single couple, O Lord, that has been brought together by you, Holy Spirit of God. Father God, your word says that what you have joined, no man can separate. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that not the enemy and not even themselves could separate each other, O Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray that there would be a renewed conviction of the importance of marriage, O Lord God, and why it matters to remain together for life. I pray that the scriptures that talk about the fact that when you try to divorce and move on to another marriage or another person, that it is indeed committing adultery, O Lord God. I pray that you would put the fear of God in all of the couples, O Lord, to see about working through the marriage, about doing everything and everything that it takes to get help, to get assistance, whether that be counseling, accountability, support, all of the things, but to wage war against the sins that so easily ensnare them and cause their egos to completely guide the decision-making in their relationships. Oh, Father God, I pray right now for humility. I pray that your Holy Spirit would penetrate and do a transformation in these marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.